Welcome to another episode of Fit to Teach, where every Monday we provide evidence-based health and wellness information to support teachers and school employees on their wellness journey. My name is Kyle Pfaffenbach. I'm an associate professor of health and human performance at Eastern Oregon University and the director of the ELU Lab for Exercise Assessment and Performance, which we call the LEAP. I'm joined by LEAP intern Nathan Marshall. Sup, Nathan?
Sup, Kyle?
For Fit to Teach each week, we provide a summary of research paper, that provides insights into some aspect of health and wellness, and we also suggest an achievable action item that teachers and staff can focus on for the week. The goal is that by trying these activities throughout each week, healthy habits will accumulate, and you can find out what health and wellness activities are a good fit for you. So let's get into it. All right. So for this week, it's a follow-up on some of the last episodes we've done. So we talked a little bit about how lifting weights, doing resistance training, even when the resistance that you use is low. Nathan shared a story, for example, about his mom crushing her weight workouts with cans of beans, which is amazing. And so again, there's evidence that using light weights, that this doesn't have to be the idea that a lot of people think about when they think about resistance training, where they're going into the gym and just, we call it hucking the chains and Arnold Schwarzenegger style, that sort of thing. But it's super, super important. And then in the episode after we talked about low weight resistance training, we covered protein intake and how important protein intake is. We're combining some of these themes with today's paper. Today's paper is what's called an umbrella review. So what they do for this is basically the authors of this paper wanted to ask the question, what are the broad effects of resistance training? Because a lot of the studies will explore one aspect of resistance training. And then a lot of the review papers will combine just the studies that explore one aspect. For example, we know that resistance training is really good for bone health and bone density. This is super important for pre- and postmenopausal aging women. It's also important for males. Increasing and maintaining bone density is one of these huge benefits. So you may get a review paper on all the studies that study the impact of resistance training on bone density, but it's really just focused on that one topic. And so this paper is really cool. It's written by a gentleman named Stuart Phillips. He's a known exercise physiologist that studies resistance training. So it's written by an expert, it's peer-reviewed, and I found the information in this article really cool. So we're going to go through some of the main points and some of the overall, just again, reiterating how important strength training is, how many times a week people should be aiming for, how you can get started using low weights and doing these things, talk about some resources and some of the stuff that we do in our weight training program, and then hopefully get you guys motivated and on a good sort of resistance training program, because it's super important. Let's get it. All right. So what'd you get out of this, Nathan?
I think for me, it was a really good supplement to what we talked about before and just highlight the benefits of weight training. The first article did a good job of explaining that, but it was more in terms of low resistance, right? So this was just an overall review. To me, the most interesting finding was they talked about volume and how you can still get high muscle hypertrophy, so muscle growth, even when you're not lifting as frequently.
Sure.
Which I think was super cool. So they talked about if you want more strength adaptation, you would need to lift more frequently. But if you're looking purely for gains,
yes,
you don't have to do it as often.
Nathan's just about to finish up a molecular exercise physiology class that I teach here at EOU. And we have this unique textbook that takes this like super in-depth look at the really fine grainy details of response to exercise. Stuart Phillips, the gentleman that wrote this paper, wrote several chapters in the textbook that you're reading. And so there are some similarities between what we've been talking about in class and this. And one of the things that I think is important, anytime you're talking about resistance training, you want to take into account the different variables of what goes into a program. One of the things that you want to look at is the variables for a resistance training program are load, volume, sets, frequency, the rest interval between sets, the muscle action type, and the speed at which you do it or the velocity. And so when you're considering, okay, what am I doing? You want to think about what muscle groups am I hitting? How often am I hitting it? How am I doing it? Am I just doing one set? And a set is like a single session of repeated efforts. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would say, okay, I'm going to do 2 sets of 10 reps, and then I'm going to rest for 2 minutes in between that or something like that. And there's literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of combinations of different weight training programs you can do. So one of the things that I want to make sure that you're on the lookout for is be wary anytime someone says, this is the way that you should be lifting, or you should be doing this, or you should be hitting this in this way. Because there is an infinitesimal number of combinations of these different types of things. Sure. And especially with social media, and especially with influencers, and especially with, just don't get caught up in that sort of thing. What you want to look at are things from the most basic perspective. And I think this article does a good job of that. Mm-hmm.
So I know, like, in class, and this is something you've put a point of emphasis on, just like you teaching me so much, but it's ingrained in my head now, is like having multiple different types of stimulus will lead to the greatest adaptation. And talking about this, so is it safe to say that when you're starting a weight training program, you want to mix in a bunch of those things? So maybe one workout, you focus on higher reps, higher velocity at a lower sure. weight, maybe with a little less rest in between. And then your next exercise session, you do a little more weight, less reps, less sets, you know, however, change the rest around. And that will lead to some greater adaptations than keeping the same thing, 3 sets of 10,
right.
2 minutes in between sets.
Sure, absolutely. If we zoom out a little bit on what you just said, which what you just said is completely accurate. If we zoom out about like why that approach could be effective, we've talked a lot about, and this is something we talk a lot about in class, and this is something that we emphasize a lot, is individual responsiveness. Mm-hmm. Here's a plug for coming in and getting your wellness exploration or your high performance assessment in the Leap Lab and taking advantage of that, is because general recommendations for exercise, including weightlifting, cardio, walking, and diet, are just that. They're general. They're meant to be a really solid evidence-based starting point. However, there is very wide variability in how people respond to different types of training. And we've all experienced, or potentially a lot of us have experienced or gone through this sort of, where you start an exercise program with a friend of yours and you say, okay, it's New Year's, we're going to start this. And then 6 weeks into the training program, they've lost 5 pounds, gained 2 pounds of muscle, feel great. And you're like barely hanging on, right? You've gained 5 pounds. You're not getting any stronger. And a lot of people say, what am I doing wrong? Because this person over here is having this amazing response. And the reality is you're not doing anything wrong. You're just not a responder to that stimulus. To Nathan's point about mixing things up, and a lot of people have this, okay, if I can just get my Monday, Wednesday, Friday routine down and I do the same thing every week in the same way. If you're not a responder to whatever random program you chose, you're just not going to see the results you're capable of achieving if you were to provide more variety of stimulus. Mixing things up and keeping things not fresh. One of the things is it prevents people from getting bored. But for other people, they think, oh, this just seems like a hodgepodge. There's no structure to it. The reality is your lizard brain, your muscle physiology, your muscles don't know. Yeah. Like they're not conscious yeah. of like, all they want is work, and they want a variety of work. The more variety you do, the more likely you are to find out what you're a responder to. Now, if you're so dialed in that you realize, oh, I respond really well to this and I don't respond well to that, you can double down on that for different periods of the time. But the reality is that most training programs, and I really like the way there's this really good strength and conditioning coach that does a lot of writing, and he focuses on actually communicating with people, like effectively around getting people to do strength training. Mm-hmm. His name's Brett Bartholomew. He said it best, where he just said, there's no one magic exercise program, But everybody agrees that if you do a lot of different exercises in a lot of different ways, at a lot of different speeds, with a lot of different weights, all mixed together in a balanced way, you're going to get a response.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And that's, I think, really, when they look at like this whole idea of incorporating resistance training as we age, one, it's achievable at any age for anybody in a variety of different ways. I know, like, my grandma was in PT. Mm-hmm. She was doing seated banded exercises, yeah, and she was batting a balloon back and forth with, yep, a physical therapist while she stood. And it made a huge difference in her ability to move around and stuff like that. Yeah. That's a form of resistance training. If you're like, it's going to change over time. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be too set in just one approach, but we just want to make sure that we're getting our work in. Some of the key takeaways that I thought is, one, if you are interested in growing muscle mass, 10 sets per week were about like scattered in throughout the week. Now, I wouldn't say somebody go do 10 sets of 10 on the bench. It's all spread out throughout the week.
Yeah.
So that's one of them. High load, so heavier, will lead to a little bit faster strength gains. Mm-hmm. But from a hypertrophy standpoint, which is the scientific term for muscle growth, you can get that with high load or low load. In the face of things like losing muscle mass that's associated with aging and losing functionality, we know that low loads are safer. They're more comfortable. People can do them more often. And they're really effective.
And
less intimidating, 100%. And so I guess the point of this is the benefits of strength training are undeniable. We want to break down these walls of it seeming super intimidating. Mm-hmm. What we're encouraging you to do as you start implementing this over this week and then continue on is start slow, mm-hmm, try a little bit. Mm-hmm. Use resources like YouTube and things like that to find programs, mm-hmm, try them. If they make a weight recommendation or say, okay, for this workout, grab a pair of medium dumbbells, and they say, I'm using 20 pounds, start with 5. Yeah. Like, it literally will make a really big difference. The other thing is that if you're really sore after trying one of these weight training programs, then you probably started too fast and too hard.
Yeah.
What we want to do is create a sustainable plan that you can build on slowly over a long period of time. The, mm-hmm, idea is we're doing this for our life,
yeah,
in some way, shape, or form. And so I want to be able to maintain that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
How does, what do you do for lifting? It's different now because you just finished a super successful senior soccer season.
I know. It's different. It's on and off. I just try and get in every week is how I'm going about it.
Right, how many sessions are you thinking about?
4 or 5.
Interesting. To the gym, 4 or 5 days a week.
I'll do cardio and lifting, but it changes. So
this is like Mr. Chamberlain level,
I know,
effort.
So if I go on,
shout out to Jake.
That Jake.
Yeah. He's a PE teacher at Central. He grinds in the weight room.
Yeah. I've gotten into it more and I do push pull legs. I switch it up. But
for those that aren't familiar, a good way to balance a resistance training program is with pushing exercises one day, pulling exercises a different day, focus on legs on a third day. And then maybe your 4th or 5th days, you're doing some sort of combination where you can go back and forth between exercises, what's called a superset. And again, this is like, this is for people that really want to get into it.
Yeah. For sure. And I think I've gotten a lot of experience just being, for me, it's like actually being in the classroom has taught me a lot about,
hey,
what to do and how to balance it in terms of timing and when to hit certain muscle groups. I had a lifting background before, you know, just playing high school sports. So I have a good idea about that. I think one thing I want to highlight is the mind-muscle connection. And I think that's something that's like put under the radar. So like when you're doing an exercise, feeling the muscle you're working out is super important. That's something you learn over time and you can actually feel it contract and feel it getting stronger. And then you do it 3 days later in your next set and you, okay, I feel it getting stronger. I have a better understanding of how it's working. And then you can change your grip around, you can change your form a little bit and optimize that. I think that's a super important part of weightlifting that people who may not have a background in a muscle anatomy.
Yeah, awareness. So I see this actually as I'm teaching my kids not to lift. So my kids are 9 and 11 and they're not like thrown around big weight, mm-hmm. but it's also not too early to help them learn how to become aware of where their body is in space. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of is the engaging part, the mentally engaging part of lifting is when you're using like video feedback, when you're doing lifts in front of a mirror and you can see, oh, is my posture right? Is my chin tucked? Is my core stable? Those are the kinds of things you're looking for when you're looking for resources where you have, you're following a plan and say a video and somebody's giving you these mental cues. And this is, I'm sure, what you got from like strength coaches and things that you've worked with and people you've worked with. And this is where it's super, super important. And so one of the things that from an action item standpoint that you could consider is start exploring like your body in space and where it is and those sorts of things. The other thing is that there's really good resources that can teach you these things. So in town, if you're more like face-to-face person, there's really, really effective trainers at, say, like Mountain Valley and a couple different gyms around mm-hmm. town that do a really good job with kind of just moving you along and taking that stress of how do I do this and how do I know how to do how. You can take a class for a couple weeks, for example.
For sure.
There's also some adult exercise classes. I know here we have an adult balance and movement class. It's a collaboration with physical therapists up at Grand Round Hospital. Mm-hmm. So that's a really cool program that we're doing here. We also have a walking program here several mornings out of the week. That's going to be starting up in the wintertime. We have professors that are biomechanists that are doing movement analysis and walking analysis and things like that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, Nathan is like at one end of the spectrum. He's a young college kid. He's in the gym 4 or 5 times a week. He's lifting heavy. I think I'm on more of the moderate side. I actually don't really enjoy lifting. I just do it because I know I have to for my health and wellness. I have a little garage set up with a couple light dumbbells. Mm-hmm. And then I follow Apple Fitness programs. Yep. There's a feature on Apple Fitness called Apple Fitness Plus that I think is really effective for just taking the mental effort out of planning your workouts. You just say, I want to do total body, upper body, lower body. You choose one of those. You choose 10, 20, or 30 minutes. You get to know your favorite trainer. There are these like trainers for Echelon and Peloton and Apple Fitness.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Minor celebrities now. Yeah. So you get to know your favorite trainer mm-hmm. and then you just bang out the workout. And what I like about Apple Fitness is they have a modified version of every single one of their workouts. Mm-hmm. So the main person that's doing the workout, but then they have a person doing the workout right next to them that's doing a modified version. Mm-hmm. And again, if the trainer says, I'm using 20 pounds, start with 2 pounds mm-hmm. and go from there. The idea of getting 200 to 300 minutes of exercise, which again, it's above the 150 minutes of walking per week that is generally recommended by the American College of Sports Medicine. We've talked about how you have a higher chance of being a responder if you get a little bit more than that each week. We talked about how you can break that up however you want. You could do 3 to 5 10-minute walks throughout the day, or you could do a 200-minute walk on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And then now we want to build off that previous information that we did, and we really want to encourage people to start doing some light resistance training because, as this paper shows, the benefits are across the board in terms of, in terms of the improvements. For teachers, you're on your feet all day, you're going from sitting to standing, you're chasing around kids of a variety of different ages, you're back's getting tired, shoulders are getting tired, and that's where this can have a real benefit.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
So we will be back next week with another episode of Fit to Teach. We'll also be posting more episodes of Classroom to Calm on Fridays, where we try and get teachers ready to relax and engage in self-care and take care of themselves over the weekend and recharge for the next week. Be sure to also listen to this feed on Wednesdays for Turning Point interviews, where Scott Carpenter talks with certain people in the school district and they talk about their motivations behind education and what's their why and what's their purpose for being in education. And yeah, stay tuned. We're going to keep bringing you a lot more of these episodes over the holidays. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
See you next time.